If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the book of the Psalms this afternoon, Psalm of the third division of the Psalm, Psalm 3. We've got 8 verses here. Pray the Lord would just bless us with liberty to speak from them in a way that would be beneficial to you, the Lord's people. Very thankful for the prayer that's been offered, and I ask each of you just to pray right where you are, that the Lord would bless us all together, that we might be lifted up to be able to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and feed upon the Word of God, which is so absolutely important. I also want us to remember how easy sometimes we allow things to hinder us from the hearing of God's Word. We know from the sower of the seed that the seed was sown, but it was not always sown on good ground. That there was some seed sown where the sparrows quickly came and devoured the seed, and that the old devil would sit right next to you if you give him a seat. And while you're hearing the preaching of the gospel, he would rob you of that, take that from you. So let's be aware that the old devil can come right here and sit down by us if we allow him space and give him room, and keep your mind and thought away from the truth of God's word. And that's one way the old devil attacks. He'll attack you by keeping you from feeding on the word of God. See, when God's little sheep eat good food, the sheep food, just like natural food makes you healthy, spiritual food makes you healthy. And so the devil would like to attack you by attacking your hearing, so that if he can rob you of feeding on the Word of God and listening to what the Bible says, that's one way that he can weaken God's little children. The good news is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when we resist the devil, we submit ourselves unto the Lord, and we resist the devil would have to flee from us. We also know that the seed being sown can be hindered by the cares of this world, the lust for other things, the concerns of life, that as you're sitting there listening to the Word, your mind can wander off what the Bible is teaching onto the troubles and cares of this world. And that's another tool of the adversary, to put those things and sow those things in our mind and heart. And what it does, it chokes the Word. It seizes it from bringing forth the fruit. Now, some people would say we're talking about people that aren't God's children that have that happen. But I believe all of those are God's children who could benefit from the Word, but they have some things hinder that benefit. The man of this world is not interested in the Word. He's not interested in growing in grace and knowledge of the truth. He cannot know them. He won't hear them. He won't have them. But you, as God's little children, need them. That will bring forth much fruit. You need that in your life. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. I don't want to miss faith. And temperance, that fruit of the Spirit that we have as a result of the Spirit, we want to see and want that to bring forth much fruit. God's little children. Like we've said before, you can look out and see an apple tree, and it may just have one little measly apple on it. You know it's an apple tree because of that one little measly apple. But that doesn't mean we want to see all God's children like that. What we desire to see is God's little children well-fed, well-nourished, just like you take with that tree, you fertilize around it, you tend it, you till the ground around it, you do what's necessary to make an apple tree grow well, and you treat it good so that when it does bring forth fruit, the fruit is abundant and the fruit is good. And we know we can't make the fruit grow. Only the Lord can do that. But we are to dig in there and dig out the weeds and the stuff that would hinder. And that's what part of the preaching of the gospel does. And with that said, I'd like to call your attention to Psalm chapter 3 and read these 8 verses in your hearing. It says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Now, we have three times where the word Selah is used in this passage of Scripture. And each one of those times, I believe, if I understand what that word means, it's a musical notation that tells you to pause. That you're to pause, and really what I feel it says and believe it says is that you're to pause and meditate upon what's been said. You know, so often we read the Bible like we read a newspaper, or we listen to preaching just like we're listening to anything else. And we don't really think about it. We don't really meditate upon it. What we need to understand is that of all the messages that we're to get in our lives, there's nothing more important than what the Bible has for us. And what he has for us, the Lord supplies to us. And he does that in this day and age, in this dispensation in which we're living. He does that many times through the preaching of the gospel. The Lord has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them or deliver them that believe. That's why it's important for us to attend the house of God, to be there for the preaching of the gospel. Not only to be there, but to be attentive, to be listening, to be heeding what's being said, to recognize the importance of it. And wherever you are in your life today, there's no message more important for you than what we find in the pages of God's Word. As we come today, we come trusting in the Lord. I pray you've been praying. I hope you've been praying for me that the Lord would lead me to where I'm supposed to go. Y'all know that there's nothing in me, don't you? If you don't know that, let me tell you, there isn't anything me. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. I want to help. I want to say the right thing. But I know that in me, just like in the Apostle Paul, in me that is in my flesh, just what I have out of old Gary, out of the old nature I am, if that is in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Which means I cannot and will not be able to help you unless the Lord blesses me to be able to do that. So that ultimately when everything is done here today, we have one to thank and one to praise and one to glory in, and that's the Lord. That if any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. And that's one thing that I certainly want us to understand. That without the Lord, we won't have a service that's honoring and praising God. Without the Lord, our singing will be cold and empty. Without the Lord, our prayers will not get out of this room. Our prayers, we won't have the right words in our prayers. We won't have the right thoughts in our prayers. We won't have the right intent on our heart in our prayers. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. We don't know how to preach as we ought to. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with heart groanings that cannot be uttered. And when we trust in the Lord and we lean on the Lord, hear me, all is well. When we're trusting in ourselves and leaning upon ourselves, it doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter whether we're about our day-to-day task in a natural way, or whether we're trying to pray, or whether we're trying to look to the Lord. We don't know what to do without looking to the Lord. We must and do absolutely have to lean upon Him. That's true for the preacher. It's true for the deacon. It's true for every single member, male and female, in this church. It's true for every little boy, every girl, every man, every woman. It's true for all of us. You and I absolutely need the Lord. You and I need the Lord. Now, God's little children are made aware of that by the Spirit of God working in their hearts. I am duty bound to tell all men that, whether they hear me or not. Some will hear it and love it. Some will hear it and hate it. Some will embrace it. Some will let it go through. I am not responsible for that. What I am responsible for is to be faithful to the truth, to preach it with all authority, to preach it in humility, to preach it boldly and yet meekly, and share that truth with God's little children that they might grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth that will help them here in this world. And believe me, this passage tells us about a man who needed help, and a man who got help from the Lord. So if that applies to you today, listen up. Because this is a scripture that God has left on record for us. It's not just to tell us about the history of David. It's not just to tell us about what David experienced in his life. It is for our benefit that you and I might, as David did, as he trusted in the Lord, you and I might trust in the Lord. As we see his example set before us, that you and I might do as he has done in the Word. Not that we can do it on our own, because David will tell you he didn't do it on his own, but that we might trust in the one who helped David as our trust and as our help, so that we could find the same sure mercies of David that David found. And by the way, they weren't works of David. They were the mercies of David. Thank God for his mercy. Aren't you glad today that God is rich in mercy? Aren't you glad today and thankful that his grace is sufficient, that whatever my need is, whatever my trouble is, whatever my problem is, David said it and we believe it, there's a God that's bigger than all of those things. And he certainly tells us that in this passage. He says in the first verse, a kind of distressing statement, but yet it's a really true statement. And it's true not only for David, but I believe it's true for all of us. At least I found it to be that in my life. I found that the days that I live are very much like what Job said, that man is born, that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Have you found that to be the case? I found in my life that if I'm waiting for all the trouble to get gone before I'm happy, I'll never be happy. That if I find I wait for all the problems to be no longer there, then as long as I'm in this world, I'm waiting for the problems to be gone, the troubles to be gone, that's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, from the Scripture, we can pretty well tell you that your problems are not going to get better. They're going to gradually get worse and worse and worse. And somebody said, what kind of gospel is that? Well, it's a gospel that is based in the truth of God's Word. Because David said this, and I have found it to be the case, and David wasn't speaking offhand. He had had a son who had conspired against him. I don't know how that must have felt, but I know that he had a son and he loved that son. And that son conspired against him enough that he tried to rob the kingdom from David and had done all that he could to turn the people against David. And he had sold a whole lot of them into the lies that he was telling that they would might do that. And this was his own family, his own flesh and blood, and he had turned against him. And as that must have hurt David, certainly it hurts the Lord's people when we experience things like that. So much so that we think, I don't think I can make it through this. And here's the language. He said, Lord, and notice he did the right thing. You know where he took it? He took it to the Lord. So often you and I take it everywhere else. We might share it with one another. And it's okay to share with one another, but understand this. I'm sharing it with you. It may help me to get it off and let you know the only thing you can really do for me is pray for me and look to the one that I need to look to. And together, that's a wonderful thing and a blessed thing. We are can pray together, but I can't carry your burden and you can't carry your burden. But there's one who is able not only to carry that burden, but we sang that, take your burden to the Lord and do what? Leave it there. And brethren, that's what I want to say to you today. That's what David did, and that's where David found peace. And I believe the peace and the rest that you and I are going to find in this world is going to be found when we take our burden to the Lord and we leave it there just like David did. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? In other words, David had a few people troubling him, and then he had a few more troubling him, and then he had a few more things that troubled him, and the next thing you know, everywhere he turned, things seemed to be troubling him so much that he was in despair. And the question comes, what are you going to do, David? What is it that you can do? David did one thing right. He didn't try to handle it himself. He didn't turn it over to himself to get take care of it. He didn't go try to straighten it out himself. He didn't do the attacking. He didn't take up the sword against those that he loved. He turned it over to the Lord and he said to the Lord what the Lord already knew. See, the Lord already knows about it. By the way, you know when you talk to the Lord, you don't tell him anything he doesn't already know. Matter of fact, before you ever tell him, he already knows. Before you ever have the problem, he knows what the problem is and what the answers are. And when you turn it over to him, what you find is not necessarily he gives you just what you want, but he is your answer. And your peace comes when I say, Lord, this is too big for me. I can't handle it. How are they increased that trouble me? He says, many are they that rise up against me. And sometimes this might be people. Sometimes it might be breakdown of your physical body. Sometimes it might be a financial problem. Sometimes it might be a problem on the job. It might be in your own family. It might be in your among the church brethren. It may be a spiritual battle. It may be a mental battle, an emotional battle. I'm telling you, the God who made us is not only in charge of our spiritual life, but He's also in charge of our natural life. He's the one who puts the breath in my nostrils and keeps my heart beating. He's the one who provides the food on my table and the clothes on my back. He's the one who can take care of me when I'm going to the doctors of this world. He's the one who can handle the situation whether the doctors have the answer or not. My help and my hope is not going to be in anyone else but the Lord. And if I'm trusting anywhere else, then I'm going to find that they are just as destitute and as much in need as I am, and I will not have the true peace that comes in saying, Lord, this is too big for me. Take it to Him and leave it right there. Leave it right there. And I pray that we as a congregation will do that for one another. That though we have problems and those problems seem to grow and increase, and we will have them. Look, we're in a world full of trouble. And just as David said, Lord, how they increase that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. He took that to the Lord. Not to tell the Lord something he didn't know, but that he would know that the Lord knows. Listen, the Lord's thoughts are upon his children at all times. I love that Psalm 139, I believe it is, that tells us that. He says in Psalm 139 in the first verse, he says, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That means the Lord already knows everything that's going on with me. And then he says, thou knowest my down sitting. That means when I sit down, he knows about it. Thou knowest my uprising. That means when I stand up, he knows about it. And guess what? You're either sitting down or you're standing up all the time. Which means the Lord knows all about me all the time. He knows my down sitting and he knows my uprising. He understandeth my thought. How many of you understand your own thoughts? Oh, I'll tell you, my thoughts sometimes plague me. Sometimes I think I've got control of them. Sometimes I think I can handle them. Sometimes I think I'm right on track. And before I turn around, my thoughts have gone astray and they've wandered off. And I don't understand even why I think like I think sometimes. Are you like that too? I know this, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And the things I would do, I don't do. And the things I wouldn't do, I find I'm doing them. And I wonder, why is it like that? Well, I'll tell you why. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And there's a battle and a warfare that's going on in the lives of God's little children, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Listen, then are we at a loss? No, because I have one when I don't even understand my thoughts who understands my thoughts, and he understands them afar off. That means before I've ever thought them. There's nothing that surprises God. Sometimes we think, well, God got surprised on that one. You better believe God never has been surprised about anything. There's nothing that's happening that he doesn't know about. There's nothing that's happened that he doesn't know about. There's nothing happening right now that he didn't know about. And there's nothing that will ever happen that he already doesn't know about. God is everywhere present, and that means an eternal God who inhabits eternity. How big is that? You know, somebody said, how big is your God? Listen, our God inhabits eternity. If He inhabits eternity, that means there's nowhere, present, past, or future, that He isn't already. Not only is He going to be there, He is there. Hear me. Not only is He there here now, but He's there, and He's in the past. He is a God who inhabits eternity. Somebody said, explain that. Well, I can't much more than what I've just said. It's too big for me. And the psalmist says that. Listen, he says, thou hast compassed my path. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Hear me. He's surrounded. Compasseth means he's gone around it as a compass all the way around us. He's got a path and he knows my lying down. He's got us sitting down, up, standing up, and lying down. Sound like it's all covered to me. And art acquainted, hear me, he's acquainted with all my ways. That's why David said, I'm turning this over to the Lord, because I can't fix my son. Oh, I would it would be not this way, but I don't know what's the best way to go with this. I know this, when Absalom was killed, David mourned, didn't he? He mourned over the loss of his son Absalom. He had a love for him. And I don't know all that was going on with Absalom, but I know this. I know the Lord knew all about it. And David said he didn't know, but the Lord knows all about it. Can I say this to you today? I don't know everything that's going on. I don't have a clue. And if you're looking for me for help, you're in trouble. The only thing I can do is just grab a corner of the bed like the four that bore that one to the Lord Jesus Christ and carried him when that paralyzed man who couldn't get there himself. The only thing I can do is grab a corner of the bed and carry him to Jesus. I can't heal him. I can't fix him. But I know one who can. And I can take him in prayer and if it need be, climb up on top of the roof. If need be, tear the tiles off the roof and let him down so that he might be in the presence of the Lord. And by the way, but none of them took credit for any of that, because without the grace of God, they wouldn't have had sense enough to know what to do. Puts man in a pretty low state, doesn't it? We're pretty dumb creatures. You know, we're without the Lord, we're ignorant. And yet with the Lord, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. He says, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows everything we say. Thou hast beset me behind and before. You think the Lord's behind you? Can you see Him behind you? Oh, dear ones, I want you to know the Lord's light, His work in our life has been behind us. Sometimes the old devil comes and our enemies come and say, the Lord hadn't been with you. He hadn't done anything for you. You wouldn't be in the place you are now. Don't you think David had that same adversary telling him, it must be something you did, or it must be something, the Lord must have not been there, or you wouldn't be having this trouble. Listen, David knew and understood the Lord has been, he's behind me and He's before me. And not only is He just there, He's laid His hand upon me. All my life is filled with the evidence of God laying His hand upon me. I haven't deserved the touch of His gentle hand, not one single time. I've never earned it. I've never merited it. I didn't deserve it. If I got what I deserved, I'd be cast away from Him eternally in a place of torment, for the wages of sin is death. And I feel to be the chief among sinners. I feel I've come short of the glory of God. So much so, sometimes I wonder, could a man like me possibly be His child? And if I trust in myself for that, the answer is no, I cannot be. That's why I'm not to trust in myself, because the sufficiency is not in me. It's in the Lord. I'll tell you who the Lord chose. He chose sinners. He came to save sinners. He came to make sensible sinners understand that I've died for you and I paid the sin debt for you. And I am with you, behind you, and I am before you, and I have laid my hand upon you. And salvation, as He said over here, belongeth unto the Lord. That means I can trust Him for eternal life. I can trust Him for my home in heaven. I can trust Him that one day when I die, He'll carry me out of this troubled world to be with Him in glory. That I will not have the sufferings of hell, which is a real place where there's real suffering, and the terror that's there and all that's there would be mine were it not for the grace of God. But because of His grace, He has rescued me from that. He has put His hand upon me, and my life is filled, and yours is too, dear ones, with the evidence that God has been with us. I just look around you. Just think how good the Lord has been. Today we've been able to sing praises unto the Lord. You know, we'd have never done that if the Lord's hand hadn't been with us. Today we've been able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and you've been able to believe it. We'd have never done that if the Lord hadn't been with us. You can look at all the things that have worried you and troubled you and see God's hand always there. And even when we are pulling away, and I think of the many times that I was doing all the wrong things, going the wrong direction. Is your life filled with times, if God had given you what you deserved at that time, you'd have not had a second chance. You'd have not had any chance. As a matter of fact, you'd have been cast from Him. And I'll tell you, instead of that, He showed love and mercy to you. You know why? Because He's a loving God who loves His people with an everlasting love. Not based on what you and I do for Him, based upon what He has done for us and He cannot deny His own self. He has loved us with an everlasting love, and therefore we're not to believe any of the lies of the enemy. And listen to what they're saying, because they'll fill your head with all kinds of stuff. I'm not trying to tell you stuff today. I'm trying to tell you what the Word of God says, so that your head would be filled with the truth of God's Word, and therefore you can stand against the lies of an accusing devil and all of the evil forces in this world that would have you to believe a lie so that they could rob you of your joy and your peace and your rest. And I would that God would fill your heart today with joy and peace and rest, not by fixing everything, though He can do that, and we look to Him for that, but by giving you peace in the middle of the storm. Listen, He can calm the storm if He sees to, but He doesn't have to, because He can walk in on a raging sea, on the water. And He can come in and give us peace in the middle of the storm, so that our boat, though it's rocked and seems to ought to go down, listen, He can fill a ship so full of fish that it's sinking. He can take a ship that ought to sink, being filled with water, and it can float. He can save a man by sending him a whale that He prepared for him and save him from the drowning in the sea, and put him in the belly of a whale, and at the same time chasing him and delivering him at the same time. I'm telling you, we have a God who works, as the hymn writer says, He moves in mysterious ways, doesn't He? His wonders to perform. Sometimes when I'm going through something, I say, Lord, why am I going through this? Why are we going through this? Why does she have to go through this? Why does he have to go through this? Why are they facing that? We sang that hymn, tempted and tried. We all made to wonder why it should be all the day long. While there are others living so wicked in this world that seem to be getting along and not having any trouble, and it seems like we're being bombarded. Do you think for a moment David's mind wasn't there at times when he was under that same oppression? He was a man subject to like passions just like us, but he, rather than thinking it that way, he went to the truth of God's Word and he didn't listen to the lies. There were those who were telling him, look, God's not going to help you. And they're telling us that today too. Sometimes you hear them. The old accuser tells you that. Here's what he said. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Many there be. The world will say it's a waste of time to pray. There be those in the world that would say it's a waste of time. Let me say this. You know better than that, don't you, in your heart, that it's not a waste of time to pray? Because he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy that I share by feeling His presence, no other has ever known. He deals with me like He doesn't have any other children. That's how His love has been shown to me. Although He has children out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, He deals personally and particularly with us, just like we see every one of God's children to Him are special. Every one of your children to you are to you special. If you're a good mama and a good daddy, you say, which one do you love the most? Well, I love them all. You say, well, how can you love them all? Because I have love for each and every one of them. And I don't love anyone. They're all different, but I love them all the same. Listen, God's love for His children is more than our love for our own children, and He loves every one of them. Can I say to you, there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from Him, even your behavior. When your child misbehaves, little Rosie hadn't misbehaved yet, but when little Rosie starts misbehaving, and she will, how do I know that? Because a mama misbehaves and a daddy misbehaves. How do you know that? Well, her dad, granddaddy misbehaves and her grandmama misbehaves, and we keep on going all the way up to Adam. It's an inherited bloodline, and we have that, and as sure as we're in this world, listen, as sure as we're in this world, we were born in sin and we're shaping in iniquity, and that sin, we sin because we have a nature that's sinful. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be would say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And just stop and think about that. That's kind of a hard place to be, isn't it? When your world is hitting you on every side. The world is hitting you on every side. And then there's people coming and say, well, there's no help for you. That's no good news. You know what David did with that? He ignored it. David said, that's a lie. I know better than that. He says in Psalm 139 what he knows. He said, look, there's a God who's going to help me. Because He's been my help. He's been a very present help in the time of trouble. Has God been a very present help to you in the time of trouble? Can you say with the hymn writer, it's grace that's brought me safe this far, and so grace is going to lead me on. I looked to the Lord in the past, and the Lord came through every time, and I've never been ashamed of trusting in Him, and therefore I ought to trust in Him more and more. He's given me every reason to trust Him. Man has given us no reason to trust Him, but God has given us every reason to trust Him. Therefore, brethren, I'm saying to you, do what David did and trust Him. Lean upon Him. Here's what David said. But, here's what the world is saying to me, but that's not the truth. Here's what the Bible says. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. God's my shield. Now just think about that for a minute. I'm in the storm and I'm in the battle, but isn't it good to have, you know who your shield is? My shield is, God is my shield. Who's your protector? Can I say this to you, little child of grace? Your protector is the Lord. He's your shield. David said, I'm not going to fear what men can do. He says, the Lord is my shield. He said, He's my glory. That means He's the one I'm praising. He's the one I'm giving glory to. He's the one who's my strength. He's the one who's my help. He's my shield. He's my glory. Remember that when you get hit by the battles of life and you hear the lies coming in and the testimony of the world that there's no help in God. When you say to them what the Word of God says, that the Lord is, you're a child of the King. You're born a born again little child, a child of God, and the Lord is your shield. He is going to watch over you. He's your shield. And He is your glory. And He's the lifter up of mine head. You know what that tells me? That every once in a while David's head went down. You ever seen, you know, you ever wonder, well, my head's gone down. Am I a little child of God? Listen, David's head went down too. Sometimes we get overcome. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. Sometimes we get like John the Baptist and wonder, is this the Christ or should we look for another? Sometimes we begin to wonder, is He really with me? But listen, when we look to the Lord, He's the one who causes your head to lift up. You know, it just excites me when I see the Lord reach down to one of His little children who have their head down to see the Lord lift up their head. I'm telling you, He can lift up your head. And when we think of Him, and He doesn't have to fix it to do it. He does it by giving you His strength. He is your shield. He is your glory. He is the lifter up of my head. And He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. That's one thing we ought to do, brethren. Cry to Him. You can talk to Him right out loud. And somebody said, well, the Lord might, they might think I'm crazy if I'm talking out loud. Well, who cares? Yes, exactly right. I'm telling you, troubles will cause you to say, who cares? When you get into that problem and you need Him, it doesn't matter whether they hear me or whether I need Him. If they think I'm nuts, fine. That's okay. You think what you want. Because I have a God who's real. I'm not worshiping an idol. I'm not worshiping something I have to prop up. I'm worshiping one who puts the breath in my nostrils and causes my heart to beat. He is the one who has made me, and He's the Creator, and I'm going to trust in Him, and I'm going to cry to the Lord. And there's one place it says with a loud voice. Here it says with a voice. And remember those at one time. It says, could you cry unto the Lord with my voice? And He heard me out of His holy hill. And I believe this is a spiritual cry from the heart. It comes from the heart. Not just something to be seen or someone to visit. Not a cry like a Pharisee cries. But a cry that's coming out of the heart of a sincere little child of grace. And He heard me out of His holy hill. Listen, God hears us out of His holy hill. Where is God? He's in His holy hill. Our God is in the heavens. Isn't it good to have a God who's in the heavens, who has done whatsoever He has pleased? And Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, so that when you and I pray, and you feel like my prayers are not even being heard, He carries our prayers. Jesus carries our prayers and gives them to the Father, so the Father hears every prayer, every cry that we have. And the reason we pray is because the Holy Spirit is in our heart, causing us to have the want to and the desire. And oh, what sweet fellowship it is with God that we have. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. And then He says, Selah, stop and think about this. Now that first stop and think about it kind of got me down, but the second stop and think about it sure has lifted me up. It's lifted up my head. And you almost have to get to the first in order to appreciate the second. Listen, if you've not been knocked down, you don't know what it's like to be lifted up. Somebody said, why do I have to feel so helpless and so down? Because I am. And what God does is brings me through circumstances at times to realize how much I need Him, that I can't handle it. And when God's little children try to handle it and try to get it fixed on their own, they fail, don't we? We fail over and over and over again until we get our head down, and then He comes as our shield and our defender, and He lifts up our head. And then He says, He has heard me out of His holy hill, and you know by that still small voice that He has, and we can stop and think about that. And then verse 5, I love this. David in the midst of the trouble. You know what happens usually when I'm in trouble? I got in trouble seemingly last night and couldn't sleep. I was worried about what was going on today, worried about circumstances, and I tried and I wanted to sleep, and you know, I tried my best to sleep, and it seemed like sleep was gone. I couldn't sleep. You know, what I needed to do is stop worrying about it, turn it over to the Lord, and maybe I could have done what this verse says. David, in the midst of that, he said, I laid me down and slept. You know why he was able to sleep? Because he quit trying to handle it. He quit trying to fix it. And he realized this is in God's hands. I've said to myself all week, I'm not saying it irreverently or disrespectfully, but I've said to myself over and over, God has this. He has this. He's handling this. He's taking care of this. Gary, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to pick it up. You don't have to straighten it out. You do what He has given you to do, and do it to the very best of your ability, and then turn it over to the Lord, because He has it. He's been in front of it. He's behind it. He's all around it. He has taken care of it. And I have a God who's worthy of my trust. God forbid that I wouldn't trust in the Lord who loved me so much that He died for me and secured heaven for me. Can He not take care of every day, every hour, every moment? The answer is absolutely He can. So you and I ought to do what? Lay down and sleep and rest. Not rest in just nothing. Not just be lazy. Rest in the finished work of what the Lord has done and His promises. And know this, that as sure as you're doing that, there's going to be some who keep saying to you, there is no help in God. There is no help for Him in God. Sometimes we'll say, well, I know there's help in God for other people, but I don't think there's any for me. He'll say that too, won't He? He'll say, yeah, God will help others, but not you. He's not helping you. Because you've been so bad, and that tells us already, I know I've been bad, so you know that part's the truth. You know the devil always comes with partial truths. He'll tell you how rotten and no good you are and how you don't deserve it. But he won't tell you about mercy, and he won't tell you about grace, and he won't tell you about God's love that loves His children despite where they were, that reached down into the very dunghills and lifted them up and put their feet upon a rock and gave them a new song in their mouth. And the Lord did that irregardless of what man does. He did that by His power and His grace. And if you love Him, even if you just want, you say, I don't know whether I love Him. If you want to love Him, that's an evidence that you are His. And I want you to know that. I want your head lifted up. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Hear that. How in the world could I lay down and sleep and be okay? Well, the Lord sustained you. You know how you've gotten this far? The Lord sustained you. You might even think you got here on your own. I'm telling you, you didn't. The Lord sustained you. Things are as good as with you as they are right now because the Lord sustained you. He has sustained you. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. That means it doesn't matter what the crowds are saying. You hear that, little church? We're just a few, right? It doesn't matter what the crowds are saying. I'd rather be with a few in the ark than I'd be in the waters drowning in this world. I'd rather be with the few, the little kingdom of God, the little handful of God's children who know the truth and are walking in the truth. I'd rather be there than with the crowds that are going in the Broadway in a path that's leading straight for destruction. I'd rather be with God's little sheep and God's little lamb among the few that are looking to the Lord and leaning upon Him. He said, don't let the devil rob you now. Y'all keep your minds and thoughts on me. On what's been. Don't let him rob you. Don't let him take it from you. He'll rob you. He'll rob you. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Listen, David had many enemies, and so do we. He said, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Can I tell you, God will handle those that arise up against His children. God will protect His children. God will be with them. He will take care of them. If we don't fight the battle, He will fight the battle for us. We don't have to. That's why we're not to take up the sword against our brother. If we do, the sword's going to come back to us. We're not to do that. We're to leave it in the hands of the Lord. We won't be any more successful than Peter was in defending Jesus. You know, Peter thought he had to handle it. They were coming to take Jesus, so he said, "I'm going to handle it." So Peter gets his sword out. That old fisherman didn't hardly know how to handle a sword, but he had a sword, so he grabbed that sword and he went after that man, and you know he wasn't aiming to cut his ear off. You know good and well he was trying to cut his head off, but he didn't do too good. He missed and only got his ear. And he messed up when he did that, because the Lord healed the ear. The Lord put that ear back on. That's what Peter did when he tried to handle it. Let me tell you, you and I ain't no better than Peter. We do the same thing. When we handle it, we just mess it up. We turn it over to the Lord and He takes care of it. He says, "For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." That's what God does. And then verse 8. Thank God for this truth. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Now, does that say salvation belongs to me and the Lord? No. Does it say salvation belongs to you and the Lord? No. It says salvation belongeth unto the Lord. That means it's His to give. It is His that is, He has given that. Jesus was called Jesus for a reason, for He shall save His people from their sins. Salvation belonged to Him and He took care of it. Let us rest in it. Can I say to you, that's not only talking about you and me getting to heaven. It's talking about you and me getting through next week. It's talking about you and me getting through this moment, this day, this hour, the next battle that's sure to be there and sure to come. Remember, in that midst of that battle, salvation or deliverance belongs unto the Lord. And then He said this about His children, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise, because the Lord said it. That settles it. He said, "Thy blessing is upon thy people." If we're His people, what does that mean? We're blessed, right? "Thy blessing is upon thy people." Is it conditional? Does it say conditional? It says, "Thy blessing is upon thy people." The Lord's blessing is upon His people. That's because they're His people and He's going to bless them. Now sometimes that blessing might come in a way that we might not want, because sometimes He blesses us with a chastening rod that corrects us and teaches us. Sometimes He suffers us to go through a trial or a trouble. Sometimes we go through the valley of despair and darkness so that we might really see Him and enjoy Him when we get up on the mountaintop. One thing I've learned from hiking, in order to get up on the mountaintop, you got to do some suffering and the effort and the pain getting up there. Now listen, I'm saying to you, this world, as far as God's little children are concerned, it's a land that has hills and it has valleys. And when you get up on the valley, boy, it's beautiful. I mean, when you get up on the mountain, boy, it's beautiful to be able to stand up there on the mountain and just look over at all of God's work and all that He sees. And sometimes when you're down in the valley, you wonder, am I going to ever get out of here? But I'm telling you, there's beauty in the valley. There's beauty on the trip up, and there's true beauty on the mountaintop. And all of those places, as the Lord leads us in shady green pastures, He leads us along. Right, Brother Terry? He leads us along in shady green pastures. And wherever He leads me, there's beauty in it. There's something for us. Isn't it good to know that this psalm is in the Bible? And when we get down, we can come right back and read it again and apply it. Look, David found a peace. That same sure mercy is for us. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you. And I know you got to run, sister. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. We never did sing that last week, no, we didn't. You want to have a number?
He's a God leads His children along.
Yeah. First word is in shady green pastures.
507.
Got it. 507. 5:07. There would be one or more here who have a desire to take up their cross and follow the Lord in baptism. Desire to unite with this church, any sister church is represented. Give you the opportunity to see if you may know. As we sing together, 5:07, God leads us along. And shade green pasture so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow bends the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrow befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season.
Everybody's invited over to the system office house. We didn't know whether to call it muffer or what. Lunch, supper. Anyway, we just appreciate each and every one of you that are here. Want to make an announcement as far as our 4 Sunday meeting. We have conference on Saturday, which is our call time. On Saturday before the 4th Sunday, we have call time on that conference meeting, so please be in prayer about that. Also, on Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll be having regular services on Sunday morning. We'll have lunch.